You may have been told that you have tight hamstrings or you need to stretch your hamstrings more. This episode, we're going to talk about why that's misleading, why stretching your hamstrings might actually make your problem worse, and some solutions where you can actually help with these tight hamstrings. All of that and more on this week's episode of
Welcome to Reconsider. I'm Bill Hartman. This is the podcast to challenge you to ask better questions, to look beyond traditional models of thinking and arrive at better health and fitness solutions.
Okay. Pretty common thing, right? People get up from a chair, they get out of the car, they try to bend over, touch their toes, they stop at their knees. Like they can't even come close. Yeah. Or they have back pain or hip pain or neck pain and they go to a PT or a chiropractor and they try to move their leg up for a straight leg raise test and they say, oh, wow, you have really tight hamstrings and you need to stretch more. When I meet with people for the first time, they always have this sort of guilty conscience of, I know I should probably stretch more and I don't. We want to make it okay for you to not, because it isn't really about that. It's about managing gravity. It's about managing anterior orientation. It's about where you're at within your base of support. So this whole stretch and strengthen thing, we've talked about a lot and we've had several episodes about it. Let's attack it from that perspective first. Where this comes from, this stretch what's tight and strengthen what's weak idea, why people may experience relief from stretching their hamstrings, and we want to give the reason why it's only temporary. So let's talk about that first.
Well, let's define tight, right?
Sure.
So tightness is a sensation. In most cases, like you feel it, like you bend over, touch your toes and you go, oh, I feel tension here, wherever that may be. And in this case, we'll say posterior thigh. And under those circumstances, so our sensations come from the connective tissue behavior, right? So if I pull on connective tissues, that's what I feel. I feel that stretch. And so that's where the sensation comes from. So In many cases, when you try to stretch a muscle, your intentions are honorable, but you're actually trying to pull on a muscle that is active in most circumstances. And so that produces the tension on the connective tissues that you perceive. And then the belief is like, oh, I can pull on this harder and it will change. And in most cases, that really wouldn't be the case. Now, other things can move as a result of that. And so then you might see a perceived change in a positional capability, right? So let's just say that somebody is stretching their hamstrings, you know, consistently, aggressively, however you want to look at this. I can create substitutions for the movement that I'm actually trying to produce. So I could create a lower back substitution that gives me the perceived representation of a leg that can move farther into space. And in doing so, I've just redistributed where the behavior is taking place, and therefore I wouldn't get the same load on the connective tissue. So if it started as this perceived hamstring tightness, if I create a lumbar bend as a substitution, that actually creates more space for me to move a leg into space, but it doesn't actually put tension on the same tissues that I was using before. And so that's why some of these perceived things, appear to work in that circumstance. And so that's actually a concern. It's like, well, what did you actually do in those circumstances to make the change? There's also this situation where I put myself in these perceived stretching positions and I actually resolve some of the muscle behavior over time that will actually allow the excursion of a joint to move appropriately, right? Versus the compensation. And that would be associated with the fact that, so think about like just a simple seated hamstring kind of a thing where you're reaching for your toes. If I hold that position long enough and I have to actually breathe at the same time, I can actually resolve some of the muscle activity that was interfering. The problem is you don't know as to the reasoning behind your result, which is why, number one, we take measurements or we make comparisons to key performance indicators. So we do know where this resolution is coming from. Have we created a compensation or are we actually reacquiring relative motions? And so that's why typically we're not going to recommend the stretching of a muscle, but we might use positions. We might superimpose breathing in those positions to actually resolve some of the muscle activity. But it's not yanking and pulling on things, because if that actually worked, it would be a nightmare to try to get every you know, contractile tissue at the appropriate length. It would just be a nightmare of movement in that circumstance. So thankfully, it doesn't do what most people think it does.
Right. And I think you had mentioned something that's important. A lot of the things, and people listening to this can say, oh, well, you know, I do this stretch with my clients, or we do this stretch with mm-hmm. or I've tried this stretch and it always makes me feel better, and or even my measures improve. And that's right. We're not saying it's impossible that a stretch is what we're saying is that the mechanism of stretching a muscle yes. is not changing yeah. what we're talking about. But you being, for instance, if I'm in a hook lying position on my back with my knees bent and my feet flat on the ground, and then I grab behind my thigh and I kind of extend my leg up and back down a bunch of times, I'm keeping myself in a delayed position against gravity. And mm-hmm. I'm driving a motion that could potentially change my lower Correct. Extremities and my pelvis.
Correct. Right.
But it's not because of stretching.
Right. What you're actually doing is you're changing the position of the body relative to its base of support. So let's kind of define that a little bit, right? And so there's a space within which you can move. And the farther forward you're positioned within that space, the more you're projecting your body forward. And so then the muscle activity that's associated with that actually becomes the limitation that you would typically see if you were trying to stretch this perceived tight hamstring. So as a comparison, if you did a standing broad jump, so you're trying to jump across the ground as far as you can, the position that you would be in just before you leave the ground is yourself projecting forward. And so there's a certain amount of muscle activity, and we could say that's on the posterior side of the body because it's projecting you in the opposite direction. It's that muscle activity that actually becomes the limitation to a straight leg raise, to a hamstring stretch, and to a toe touch, because the shape of the body is to drive forward. To resolve a straight leg raise, to improve a toe touch, you actually have to be able to slow the body down so it actually moves away from the front of this base of support. And in doing so, you get the reduction in that same musculature that was projecting you forward. And then this is what allows you to access, like I said, the straight leg raise or the toe touch in a much more comfortably, because there's much less tension on the connective tissues because the muscle activity is not nearly as high.
Right. And then another example would be someone can't touch their toes, so they really work on trying to touch their toes. And then they find out that, like, oh, if I put my heels up on like a book or two books, I can actually touch my toes a lot easier. So then they think they're still stretching their hamstrings in that position. Right. Or they find those ramps that are sitting around in their gym, and then they stand on the ramp and all of a sudden they can touch their toes. And then they think, oh, this is a great position to stretch my hamstrings. Right. And we're just trying to get you to reconsider what's actually happening there, because it's another shape change and gravity management scenario.
Correct.
So let's let's talk about toe touching, different types of toe touch variations.
Yeah. Let's use the ramp example, right? So if you're standing on the ramp actually tilts you in the forward direction. And so then your response to that, especially if you notice the difference. So if you're like, you touch your toes flat foot, you get on the ramp and you can touch your toes more effectively, or you have a larger excursion. So in that circumstance, so what you're doing is you're actually responding to the position. So that the ramp projects you forward, your body expands posteriorly in response to that to slow the forward projection. Well, that's actually moving you inside of this base of support, like we were talking about. So you're actually slowing your system down, which means that you're starting to reduce the muscle activity that's associated with that forward movement. And so, so there's the benefit of that. And you can utilize that not to make a muscle longer, but to teach your system to reduce this forward projection over time and then actually gain the capacity for the toe touch movement, or again, the reduction in straight leg raise.
Right. So it's like the recognizing that you have this type of sensation when you try to touch your toes, realizing that it is a tension that's created because this tissue is active. So it's being, you're being shoved forward. You're the attachment points of the muscle are kind of moving away from each other as everything anteriorly orients. So then that, that tissue is kind of get, it gets put on a, it gets put on like some tension, right?
Well, it's going to depend on, it's going to depend on strategy, right? We've got strategies that would push us where we're pushing harder down into the ground. We got strategies that are projecting us for both of those.
So then let's talk about what are the differences between strategies, where it's not just like I have tight hamstrings because of this one thing, because the muscle's tight. It's like, why would it be tight in these different, right, these different scenarios?
Yeah. So at, we're still going to have to talk about this, this movement forward inside of the base of support, right? So as I move forward, I start to use a stronger and stronger compensation to push down. So this is me pushing to the ground away from me, straight down. So now imagine what that would feel like. So if I was laying on my back and I was pushing my leg away from me, can you appreciate how hard it would be to lift it up off the ground as in doing a straight leg raise? If I'm pushing away from the ground, can you appreciate how difficult it would be for me to actually bend forward because I'm using a strategy where I'm trying to push myself upright?
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's a behavioral strategy that we use to maintain our position in space. To use the long jump example, the standing broad jump example, that's actually to push me away from one side, which would actually move my body away from a leg. So you could picture yourself as sliding a leg away from midline, and then turning your body away from that leg. So again, you're creating this elongated position, which prevents the body from bending forward on itself, right? So again, we have two positions that both can limit our capacity to, again, use as toe touch as an example, to bend forward and touch your toes. Because again, it's the ability to slow the body down that allows us to do these things. Because it's an energy absorption behavior, not an energy projection behavior where I'm trying to move quickly through space or push aggressively into the ground.
Right. Okay. So yeah, let's take the last little bit here and talk about a progression or a series of activities someone could do to try to help with this. And a lot of the times putting someone in like a hook lying position is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Let's try this. Let's say like people will blindly sort of foam roll all of their muscles and they'll try to really focus on rolling the hamstrings.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this in our one of our stretching episodes before, and several of the episodes we've talked about like a step over on a foam roller, just to sort of address the position of the pelvis to create a better shape, to maybe not have this type of tension that you're dealing with.
Right.
So, you know, laying on your side, foam roller up into the side of your pelvis between like your, the top of like point of your hip on the top, the ASIS area, and then that bony part of the outside of your thigh, which is called like your greater trochanter. You kind of put it there. I might put a little video clip in here so that people can see what we're talking about. You do this first to sort of manage the shape of the pelvis and help you push into the ground a little bit more effectively. And then laying on your back in like a hook lying position, breathing in that position. So feet flat, knees bent,
When you feel yourself expanding into the ground in that position, that's indicative of this reduction in the posterior musculature that we were actually talking about.
Right.
Which would give you greater access to the ability to bend the hip when the leg is straight.
Yeah. And it gives you an opportunity too to sort of feel your whole foot on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the weight back in your foot, bring the weight back to the inside of the foot. So you have that sort of inside ball of the foot, outside ball of the foot, heel kind of tripod scenario. A lot of times people that have this sensation of tightness are very far forward in their base of support. So they keep a lot of their weight in their toes and maybe the outside of their foot.
Right. They're not used to feeling their heel on the ground.
Yeah. So this kind of gives you an opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. I'll put a little clip in the video of that exercise as well. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you can go to YouTube.
So what you're talking about from the foam roller activity to hook line is acquiring the shape. We'll make reference to just lower extremity and pelvis to make this simple. But you're actually acquiring the shape that the body assumes as it slows down, because there's a shape change in the pelvis. There's a shape change in the position of the attachments of the hamstrings. So there's a twisting. If you look at the way the hamstrings are attached to the ischium, they are actually in a twisted position. And so as this twisting can occur, that's going to contribute to the increase in the muscle activity that we're talking about. And so if I can acquire a pelvis shape that allows me to absorb energy from the ground, then I can slow down, then I can reduce the muscle activity, and then I have access to the new position, which would, again, increase toe touch or a straight leg raise.
Okay, so we did foam roller step over. We did the hook lying breathing, which puts videos up of that. These videos will be clips from the recon program that Bill has created, just for reference. That information will be in the description below the video for YouTube. And then let's also talk, since we mentioned it already, like toe touch variations, let's finish with one of those to kind of work on how someone is projecting themselves forwards from a standing position.
So are you talking in addition to the one we talked about with the RAM?
Yeah. So we're just kind of like giving people like a general catch all for a three movement series. So we're doing like one foam roller movement, one positional breathing movement, and then one standing activity.
Well, most simply is if you would elevate the heels,
and then
perform the toe touch activity, you've actually created a sequence that gives you a really good chance to actually access a much deeper position in the toe touch.
Right. So we're talking, when you say elevate the heels, are you referring to putting your heels up on like little plates or books, or are you talking about a ramp?
You can actually see a difference in either. The concern that you run into when only the heel is elevated is that you could actually create the compensatory spinal strategy, or what you'll see people do is they'll sort of jackknife themselves into a toe touch where you see this big posterior shift of the pelvis, and that's actually just another compensatory strategy. I much prefer the ramp position because we have the full foot contact that would be associated. Like imagine taking a step forward where your body's behind the ground contact. That's sort of the position that we're shooting for. So we want this full ground contact. And so the ramp variation is much more effective. Like I said, you'll still notice that your excursion can increase, but you're most likely using a compensation with just the heel elevated, because the connective tissue behavior in that circumstance is not in the energy absorbing position. It's in the projection position.
Right. It's kind of pushing you forward if I elevate the heels.
Yeah. And so what you actually do is you increase movement away from midline. So you would turn your hips away from midline. And then you would most likely see more bending of the spine in that circumstance as the substitution.
Right. And, you know, we're not going to get into this now, but there are specific instances where you would want to just elevate the heels versus just having the ramp. But since we were talking about doing a step over and then doing the hook line position to help capture foot contacts, it's important if we want to keep using those foot contacts that we just used in the previous activity in the toe touch to use a ramp where you have a full foot.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. And then I guess like to sort of wrap up here, I want people to kind of think about some of the things that maybe they've been using. So if you're mm-hmm. someone that's been playing around a lot with this UHPC model, with how you treat people or your patients or clients, what are some of the things you've done or some of the strategies that you've used in order to alleviate someone's perceived hamstring tightness? And it might not be examples that we gave, but I just want to like mm-hmm. have everyone sort of think through some of the things that they've been doing or what they've had success with, and maybe think about why that's happening, and then leave a comment below and we'll talk about that type of stuff. All right. Anything else for hamstrings?
Nah.
I guess also if you can think of, because I sort of mentioned that there are specific instances where you might want to just elevate the heels versus the ramp. If you can tell us a difference, you can also post that in the comments too. Like think about that a little bit and then leave a comment. I'll tell you below if you're on the right track or not.